Okay, so next I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Jennifer Manlove, who's a sociologist and also a program area director and senior research scientist at Child Trends. Her research has focused on adolescent and young adult sexual and reproductive health decision-making, pregnancy, and childbearing. Her talk is entitled Transitions Onto and Off of Hormonal Methods Among Teens and Young Adults. Let's welcome Dr. Manlove.
Thank you, and thank you to Vanessa for coordinating this session and for braving Hurricane Sandy to come out here yesterday. I also want to thank my co-authors at Child Trends, Kate Welty and Nicole Stewart-Strang. So I don't have any disclosures here. And for background, Title 10, a key focus of Title 10 is on increasing access to and use of hormonal methods of contraception, particularly the long-acting reversible contraceptive methods such as implants and IUDs. And using these types of methods can help reduce the high rates of unintended pregnancy and childbearing among teens and young adults in the United States. So in 80% of women aged 15 to 24, and this is based on the National Survey of Family Growth, 80% report that they have ever used a method, a hormonal method of contraception. However, many teens who use hormonal methods at one time subsequently transition off, as shown in the right bar here, that while 80% ever use a hormonal method, only 46% are currently using these methods. So a better understanding of transitions onto and off of hormonal methods can help improve approaches to increasing consistency of use and to reducing unintended and teen pregnancy. So we asked three research questions in this study. The first is, how do family, individual, and relationship level factors influence transitions onto and off of hormonal methods? Second, does the type of hormonal methods that women use, for example, LARCs versus injectables or pills, does that type of method influence the likelihood of staying on hormonal methods over time? And then does switching the type of hormonal method, for example, from the pill to a longer-acting method, influence or improve or reduce consistency of method use? For this study, we used data from the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, the 1997 cohort, and it followed a cohort of adolescents aged 12 to 16 annually, and we used data from the 2000 to 2009 rounds. And our sample includes about 2,900 unmarried, sexually active women who did not have a history of hormonal method use prior to 2000. And then we have annual information on these women, so we have information over time on the type of methods that they use, and we transform these into person year data. And our outcomes of interest were transition onto first hormonal method use, and then among those using hormonal methods, looking at factors associated with transitioning off of these methods. And we used multivariate discrete time event history analyses. So this slide shows that three-quarters of our sample, 76%, did report that they used or they transitioned onto a hormonal method at some point during the study. So that's very similar to the NSFG findings. But however, among those 76%, more than half of them, 59%, subsequently transitioned off of hormonal methods. And this slide shows the type of hormonal methods used, with the vast majority, two-thirds, reporting that they use oral contraceptives, another 23% use injectables as their most effective hormonal method, and 8% use the long-acting method. For our measures, our individual characteristics, and all our measures were included in the round or the year before the transition, either onto or off of hormonal methods. So we have measures of educational attainment and performance, including self-reported grades that was collected around the time of eighth grade, whether they had attended some college or more, and that's a time-varying measure, as is whether they were enrolled or employed. We also include age, race, ethnicity, and age or menarche. And our family measures include family structure and whether the mother of the adolescent was a teen mother. We also include relationship and partner factors under the assumption that contraceptive decision making is often made within a relationship context. And employing a sawtooth hypothesis, focus on the fact that many teens and young adults in casual relationships or in shorter-term relationships are more likely to use condoms. And as relationships become more serious, they're more likely to transition, preferably onto a hormonal method. And so we have age at first sex. We have relationship status, but only at first sex. And we compare those in a steady relationship to more casual relationship. We have characteristics of the first and most recent partner, whether they were a different race, ethnicity, or different age from the respondent. The number of partners in the last year as well. We also include cohabitation and parenthood. Both of these are time-varying measures. So we also look at contraceptive methods. So for analyses of those who had not used a hormonal method, we look at the frequency of non-hormonal method use. So does somebody who's using non-hormonal methods consistently, are they more likely to transition onto a hormonal method? And then for analyses of women who were on hormonal methods, we look at the type of method used, the duration of hormonal method use, and whether they switched method. For example, switching from the pill to a LARC. And some of our qualitative research has found that young women whose providers work with them to find a method that they're comfortable with are more likely to stay on these methods. So we were considering whether switching was associated with greater consistency of use. And so I'm presenting preliminary multivariate findings. We're still working on these. And we included all our independent variables in the same models. So this slide shows our two outcomes. I don't have a little pointer. But the first one is transitioning onto hormonal methods. And the second is transitioning off of methods. And these are odds ratios where a value of greater than 1 is associated with an increased odds of transitioning onto or off of, and an odds ratio of less than 1 is linked with lower odds. And so what I show in green here are factors that are associated with both transitioning onto hormonal methods in a positive direction and negatively associated with transitioning off, which would reflect greater consistency. So our educational measures, grades, attending college or more, or being enrolled or employed, were associated with increased odds of transitioning onto hormonal methods and or lower odds of transitioning off, so greater consistency. In addition, a later age at menarche was associated with increased odds of transitioning on and lower odds of transitioning off of hormonal methods. And then in red, we have race, ethnic minorities, and age associated with reduced odds of transitioning onto hormonal methods and increased odds of transitioning off. So less likely to use hormonal methods, and then for African Americans, more likely to transition off fairly quickly. Only one family structure factor was associated, and this was the growing up with one biological and one step-parent family was linked to greater odds of transitioning onto hormonal methods. And this was in a slightly different direction than we anticipated, and I'd love feedback on this. So looking at relationship and partner factors, later age at first sex was associated with greater odds of transitioning onto hormonal methods and staying on those methods, while having any biological children was associated with greater odds of transitioning onto hormonal methods. However, being in a casual relationship, having a partner of a different race, ethnicity, and having a greater number of partners were all associated with reduced odds of transitioning onto hormonal methods and greater odds of transitioning off. In addition, any biological children, while it was associated with positively with transitioning onto hormonal methods, was also linked with greater odds of subsequently transitioning off of hormonal methods. And one of the issues with the data that we're using is that we do not have fertility intentions, and we're running some additional models to restrict our sample to younger teens, to those who are dating, and we're not quite sure what's going on with the parenthood measure. In terms of contraceptive methods, we did find that those who were more frequent non-hormonal method users were more likely to transition onto hormonal methods, as we anticipated. And then among the hormonal method users, the duration of hormonal method use was associated with reduced odds of transitioning off. So women who are using hormonal methods for a longer period of time are more likely to consistently continue to use those methods. We did not find that the type of method use or whether women switched hormonal methods was associated with transitioning off, and we think part of that was due, at least for the IUD implant, to our fairly small sample of women who did use those methods. So just for summary and discussion, we did find that a substantial percentage of teens and young adults did transition onto hormonal methods. Three-quarters did during the time period of the study. However, more than half of them did subsequently transition off of those methods, showing the need to kind of focus on improving the consistency of method use over time. And then we did run some preliminary analyses just of the women who were under 25, and we found for women who were a little bit younger, there were even higher likelihood of transitioning on and subsequently transitioning off of these methods. We did find that partner characteristics were associated with transitions. More casual partners and those who had a greater number of partners were less likely to ever use hormonal methods and also were less consistent when they did use these methods. And this really does support a sawtooth hypothesis of greater reliance on non-hormonal methods in more casual and shorter-term relationships. And it shows the need for better approaches to improve hormonal methods use among women who do have short-term or more casual relationships, or those who may be ending a relationship and starting a new relationship with a new partner. In addition, having a partner of a different race ethnicity is linked to reduced hormonal method use and consistency, and this does support some previous research suggesting that women in these types of relationships are often in less stable relationships and more likely to rely on non-hormonal methods. In terms of contraceptive history, we did find that the consistent non-hormonal method use in a previous year was linked to subsequent transitions onto hormonal methods. And this could be potentially an issue of endogeneity, that women who are more risk-averse are more likely to use condoms or other non-hormonal methods consistently and also more likely to subsequently transition onto hormonal methods. And I think some future research needs to tease out the causality of some of these associations. Also, a longer duration of hormonal method use is linked to greater consistency over time and makes you wonder how long does a woman have to be using a method to become very comfortable with it and to continue using it over time. Finally, for program development, I think we need some more evidence-based programs to better understand how to increase hormonal method use and consistency. We looked at the Office of Adolescent Health's list of evidence-based programs, and there were several that showed impacts on contraceptive use for teen pregnancy prevention. However, almost all of those had impacts on condoms, and there was only one that we identified with any impacts on hormonal method use. And it really shows the need to kind of expand the evidence base, and I think some of the sessions at APHA will be addressing some of the program approaches to do that. So for next steps, we also plan to examine transitions onto and off of long-acting reversible contraceptive methods and injectables, which we see as a key Title 10 focus area. And also we plan to look at latent-class growth models because it really did seem that a lot of women were transitioning back and forth onto and off of different types of methods. And there might be a woman who starts with condoms, switches to the pill, switches to long-acting methods, who kind of follows a more normative progression of contraceptive use. But then there are a number of women who kind of flip back and forth across the type of methods that they're using over time. So we hope that you'll go to Child Trends website and look at this and other research. Thanks so much.